Hello and welcome to Fraser 365. My name is Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you for joining us on this journey as we study the life of the prophet Jonah and discover our life mission.
This is day 12 of Jonah. Today's title is Earnest Prayer. Timothy Keller said, "The usual place to learn the greatest secrets of God's grace is at the bottom." Our text today is Jonah 2, 7 through 8. "As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies." While Jonah chapter 1 gives us a negative example of running from God, Jonah chapter 2 teaches us several key truths about praying to God. One lesson that Jonah teaches us is that you are never too far away to turn your heart back toward God. When Jonah felt his life slipping away, he remembered the Lord. The Hebrew word for remember is zakar. It is a word that can be translated as calling to mind, to affect one's feelings, thoughts, or actions. Jonah's desperation brought to mind his understanding of God. As he focused on God, he remembered God's holiness and omnipresence. Jonah had faith that God in his holiness would hear his prayer of repentance. Second, Jonah took ownership of his sin and of his consequences. Owning your sin is taking responsibility for your sinful nature and your choices. Jonah admitted, "Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies." Justin Dean provides a deeper understanding of Jonah's confession in verse 8. When Jonah experienced the depths of despair, he finally realized he had been worshiping something other than God. He was just like the Ninevites. This is the moment in real prayer when you realize all the stuff that's going on outside of you is not always what is victimizing you. You are not always an innocent victim. If you could see things from God's perspective, you would see that sometimes things are the way they are due to your own making. For prayer to be real, we must see ourselves not only as sufferers, but also as sinners. What I mean is that we must confess both our sinful actions and our sinful heart motivations. This has been called the sin below the sin. It's the why behind what you did. Anytime something becomes more important to you than your relationship with God, it becomes an idol. Idols aren't just little statues that people in third world countries use. An idol is anything in your life that means more to you than God. Idols can even be good things that we begin to love so much that they become bad things in our lives. For Jonah, running from God was just the fruit from the tree of his life. The problem was actually down at the root of his belief in God. If you have bad apples on your tree, you can't just pull the fruit off, go to Walmart, and buy new apples to replace the bad ones. You have to get to the root of the problem. Idolatry is the root of this issue. This means you can't just go after the fruit. You can't just confess the fruit. You can't just say you're sorry for yelling at your wife or cheating on your taxes. For it to be real prayer, you have to confess the heart of idolatry underneath the behavior. You have to see that the reason you're cheating on your taxes is because you are an idolater who has been worshiping money. That's why a person cheats on their taxes. That's why someone robs God by not giving him tithes and offerings. If you don't go through this step and get to the sin beneath the sin, you're not actually praying. You're just being religious. Religious people do bad things, feel ashamed, make resolutions to never do them again, and then try harder, but they still do them. That's a man-centered attempt to get God on your side. It's not grace. It's not the gospel. Christians assess where they are in light of God's word and then confess the sins beneath their sins. "In that moment, I was worshiping something other than you, God. The approval of man meant more to me in that moment than your approval of me." This is why Jonah says he forsook his hope of steadfast love. Two main characteristics of earnest prayer are as follows. First, no matter where you find yourself, remember who God is and turn your heart back to Him. Second, take full responsibility for your sinful actions and your old nature behind them. Our God hears the earnest prayers of His children. It's incredible to know that when we fail God and run away from Him, He never leaves us. It's encouraging to know that God responds to honest confessions and humble hearts. Here are some questions. Why do many people wait until they get to a desperate situation to finally pray earnest prayers? How can you keep the right attitude in prayer, regardless of your situation? What else do you notice about Jonah's earnest prayer? Pray with me now. Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that, regardless of our situation, you're listening. As we have prayed many times this week, Lord, we're just grateful that we can come to you no matter what we've done. I pray that each one of us who's listening today would take a moment to pray an earnest prayer before God about where our struggles are and confess to you, Lord, so that we can be transformed by your sanctifying grace. In Christ's name, amen.